Finding a therapist who accepts your insurance can be hard. That's why Alma is making it easier to find someone in network. They help therapists accept insurance so that more people can access affordable mental health care. In fact, people who use their insurance for sessions through Alma save an average of 77% on the cost of therapy. When you browse their online directory, you'll see thousands of mental health care professionals who offer both virtual and in-person sessions. Just select your insurance plan to filter by coverage, then use other qualities like specialty and area of concern to narrow down your search. And if you're not sure what your plan covers, Alma can help with that too. Their free cost estimator tool makes it easy to understand your benefits and see what sessions will cost before you schedule your first appointment. Book a free consultation with a therapist today at helloalma.com/therapy60. That's helloalma.com/therapy60.
Hey, and welcome back to Success Made to Last. I'm Rick Tocchini. This show is brought to you by Play Audio along with Heather Barnes Media. And as most of you know, we've been working on conversations of significance. And an opportunity came across our desk regarding Kelly Whitten and her organization that creates Kara Kits. And Kelly is a superwoman, mom, cancer survivor, markets movies, does lots of other things, I'm sure. I don't know where you put your red cape at night, but it's Kelly, it's nice to have you on, the founder of Kara Kit. We're going to be talking about your company. Good to have you.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here. I appreciate it.
You bet. Okay, so people can go to the website, karakit.com, C-A-R-A-K-I-T. They can read about you, but I want you to tell them, take them back a few years ago. And when you were given the news about having cancer, and what did you do, and what, how did people respond?
Sure. So, you know, we'll take it back to February of 2020. I'd had my mammogram. I do it, you know, I did it religiously every year, a year and a half. They told me to. I got the "you're all clear, come back in a year." And then we hit the pandemic. And, you know, I'm a movie marketing executive for one of the big studios in here in Hollywood. And so I was running. My kids were 2 and 5 at the time. And I started working from home and we had a lot less to do. People weren't going out to movies. And one morning I just noticed that something felt a little strange. And I called my doctor. I did my first virtual doctor's visit at that point because no one was going in anywhere. And she said, well, you know, breast cancer lumps and things on mammograms are missed about 20% of the time. And at that moment, I was like, 20% is a lot more than I thought, but okay. So I went in to get a biopsy at that point, or them to do an ultrasound that resulted in a biopsy. In, you know, the height of the pandemic at that moment, a few weeks in, and, you know, it came back positive. It was actually, you know, the tumor was much larger than they had imagined. It was hiding directly behind some dense tissue. So immediately they said it's chemo radiation surgery, or chemo surgery radiation in that order. So I truly had about a week and a half, found the oncologist, tried to talk to as many people as I could, and then went straight into chemo. So, you know, during that time, and I'm a pretty analytical person, you know, and, you know, in addition to having the studio job, I also had a marketing agency that other people were running, but I was owning. I just constantly am in sort of in that mode of doing things. And from that part of the process, not only did I experience the greatest personal grief that I ever had in my life. And to be honest, those 2 days between when the biopsy was taken and the results came back, in my case, I can't imagine a greater sort of living hell when you have two tiny children and you're holding them and comforting them and then just not knowing what's going to happen. You know, it did not get better, but it, you know, ultimately, I would say in that sort of mental state, it obviously didn't get solved, but it did get better. In that, you know, when you're able to talk about the type that you have and what it looks like and the treatment that you can get, you know, they felt confident because mine, you don't need to know the sort of pathology, but it was called a triple positive, which meant it was driven by estrogen, progesterone, and this HER2. And so even though it is the fastest growing, it is an easier one to treat. So that was what sort of kept me sort of focused on whatever I had to do. And once I knew what I had to do, I just had to go through the process and steps. But it did give me an education on how people respond to the ones they love and people they don't know in sort of understanding and accepting their news. For me, it was, you know, I, again, working in film marketing, you're constantly assessing what elements, you know, we're not selling cans of Coke, we're selling stories and storylines, right? So it was like, you know, is this because someone's motivated to do that? Or will they respond to the love story in this or the, you know, main character's motivations? And so I, you're sort of thinking in those terms, you know, I was trying to assess at the same time I was doing it, sort of what I was going through and what it was like. And I was the kind of person prior that when someone told me bad news like that, I would just say, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And what can I do? And how can I help you? When it was happening to me, I had no idea. I didn't know what they could do to help. I'd never been through it. I didn't know what it was like. I wish I could tell them, you know, 100 things that the people who love me, thankfully, and were supporting me could do. I had zero idea. And, you know, so I started the process. I was doing it all alone because no one could come in during COVID. It was terrifying. But the people that I ended up loving talking to were the ones who had been through it before, right? Because it wasn't some scary word. It wasn't this, you know, cancer and chemo and, you know, and radiation surgery and the rest. It was, oh, you're doing that thing on that day. Here's what I went through. Here's what helped me go through it. And even in the way that they would talk to me over the phone, because again, it was all on the phone and text messages and the rest, you know, any friends, even my family who are still in Missouri, in St. Louis, you know, everyone would say what I had said before, right? I'm so sorry. What can I do to help? What can I send you? The people who had it were saying, I'm gonna get this for you. This really helped me. I think you'll really enjoy it. You know, when you have this thing that might happen to you, I'm not saying it will, but it might. They also came at it with very little sympathy, which I thought was fascinating because they were the only ones that could actually have that. I mean, they actually had empathy, right? But they didn't. They were saying, hey, what's it like? How you feeling? You're going to get through this. Don't worry. You're going to be fine. I've had this argument, by the way, now that it's a few years later, we've done this on social posts for CaraKit. When I say the top five things you can say to someone who's going through this experience and very early on, one of mine is you're going to be okay. And I know that's really controversial because we know not everyone's going to be okay. But by the way, I don't know if I'm going to be okay walking outside today because there are a million risks that we all take in our life every day. I could walk out on the street and be hit by a car. I'm not saying I want that to happen. I'm not saying it's going to happen. But whenever people haven't come face to face with mortality, their own or someone else really, really close to them, you sort of have this fear around everything that's associated with that thing. And I think the people who had gone through it, you know, I did as well. You have to work through that stuff for yourself. And it took me a while. And, you know, I had to come to terms with, you know, nothing that I regretted in life, but coming to terms with life. You know, what is of value for you in your day? What do you want to be doing, right? How do you want to help people or help yourself? In my case, it was, how do I want to help people that have gone through this? Or who are going through this. And, you know, there are a lot of people that have cancer companies. And listen, whenever, you know, we were doing a business plan for this and it was like, who's your competitors? I was like, I have zero competitors. I love and appreciate every single human being who is out there trying to help someone going through this. We have our own way of doing it. That's great. We rely completely and solely, not just on my experience, but the experience of women who have gone through it. We've done lots of interviews. We've done online surveys. We take any recommendations from anyone who has a kit. We say, listen, tell us what you liked. Tell us what you didn't like. What worked for you? What didn't? You have another product that you want to recommend? We take all of that incredibly seriously. And for me, that was that was the way of figuring out how best to contribute. So anyway, I started the company I was thinking about it literally during chemo and talking to the ladies in the chairs next to me about what was working and not. It was a constant education. But then we did the other research part of it. Really in 2021 started it. So it's been a few years now. And, you know, we get orders every day. I am in tears every day from the notes that people write to their loved ones. We never disclose any of that, but we have to, you know, print it and put it out. And I am at the same moment that it is sad and can be sad for a lot of people, to me being on this side of it and seeing the absolute love and devotion and joy that people have for one another, there is nothing better in this life we are given than that. And that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Sorry. That was long-winded, but
that was so well stated. And we are so grateful that you are doing this. You are in the, you have such a heart and you want to encourage others and you've been there and you are surviving it, and people in this world can come forward and they can move from whatever they're doing in their busy lives to becoming significant like your neighbor. Tell us about your neighbor who we now call inside of our team, the chicken soup lady.
The chicken soup lady. I think she would love that title. So my neighbor, her name is Priscilla. We, you know, to be honest, we had moved into this house, goodness, like 2 years earlier. So, you know, she was our lovely neighbor and we saw them and we, you know, would get together every once in a while, but it was still relatively new. And, I had texted her, we had been chatting and just said what I was going through. And from the very first second, it wasn't like, what do you want me to do? It was, I'm doing this. And that taught me pretty much everything I know about caring for people, to be honest, that when you're going through something, literally anything, by the way, it could be someone who's lost a job or someone who's having a bad day or a bad time. It's not about putting the onus back on them to say, what can I do? It's imagining what they may need, how you love them and what they love and how you can add a smile to their face for that day. That's what she did. And the key to me of what she did was that she never stopped. she's still my best. She really, in like a month, she was my greatest friend. And we are still there today. And she helps out with what we're doing. And, you know, I just had a reconstruction surgery. She came over because we had to be there. My husband and I, he had to drive me. We had to be there at 6:30. She came over and took my kids to school that day. Like she is just the woman that never gives up. And, you know, we've talked about her process a lot, by the way. I mean, she just did it in the beginning. And then I was just like, you know, after the fear and the appointments and all of that stuff sort of lessened a bit, I said, I got to talk to you about what you did and how significant it was for me. And she said, listen, she does this for a lot of people, by the way. She was she's a teacher. And she said, listen, I've known a lot of people who have gone through a lot of things. And what I have learned from that process of trying to help them is that I never ask. I try and imagine. I try and figure out what could be of help. She said she knew that I was having trouble with food, as most people do during chemo. Our bag tries to take that into account as well. You have a lot of trouble with hydration. Water tastes like metal. Food generally does not taste good at all. I was having trouble figuring out what to eat. And I said, we were talking one day and I said, listen, the one thing that's working is, you know, chicken noodle or matzo ball soup, like some kind of noodle and a chicken broth. That's what's working for me. And then every other day or so she would order up some chicken soup, and she would never say that she's going to order it for the day. She would just text me and be like, go out to your front porch. she would just have it show up. And she was just magnificent. And she said, you know, there were days that I didn't answer her texts. I could not, through the pain, get to where I could talk to anybody or about anything other than trying to be there for my kids. And so she would joke about like, listen, you text when you want to, you don't worry about it. I'm going to text you. It's not me asking you to text me back. It's just me doing my thing. And she would send me memes every day, little pictures of encouragement. She sent me books. She would send me little pieces of jewelry that had, you know, faith and belief and hope and things on it that, you know, to be honest, some of those are in our kits right now because they were so good and encouraging. You know, the care journey is not just, say this strangely, but this is how we do it with the care kits. It's not just physical. It's not just mental. It's not just emotional. It's all those things together. And to be honest, it's partly spiritual. And I'm not saying from any individual religion, it's just having a concept of something bigger than you and something, you know, that is outside of the people around you that you can call on. And, you know, she was very, she was very good about hitting all three of those for us. And that's what we try and do with the kits, right? There may be, you know, a beautiful candle, or there may be a piece of jewelry that says something on it, but then there's also, you know, hydration drops that go in your water that you can drink a little bit of water to get, and have these drops in it to get all of your hydration for that morning. Cause water tastes so bad. You know, it can be something that, you know, we have certain creams and other things that we put in because of their power of hydration, but chemo really strips out all of your hydration.
Finding a therapist who accepts your insurance can be hard. That's why Alma is making it easier to find someone in network. They help therapists accept insurance so that more people can access affordable mental health care. In fact, people who use their insurance for sessions through Alma save an average of 77% on the cost of therapy. When you browse their online directory, you'll see thousands of mental health care professionals who offer both virtual and in-person sessions. Just select your insurance plan to filter by coverage, then use other qualities like specialty and area of concern to narrow down your search. And if you're not sure what your plan covers, Alma can help with that too. Their free cost estimator tool makes it easy to understand your benefits and see what sessions will cost before you schedule your first appointment. Book a free consultation with a therapist today at helloalma.com/therapy60. That's helloalma.com/therapy60.
So whether that's, you know, extra creams, you know, I did a cold cap that kept most of my hair, but I couldn't wash it. I could only put coconut oil on it. And, you know, there are certain things that you need to do if you're going through some of these processes. You know, you have to keep your fingers and toes frozen during the actual chemo process to make sure that the drug doesn't get there because it causes a lot of pain and neuropathy. So it's sort of figuring out what those details are and then figuring how to deal with it. But again, that's just one physical part of it. How are you feeling? You know, how's your brain thinking? How are you feeling? How are you thinking? That's the sort of mental and emotional. And all three of them are critical. Because the physical, you feel like you're actually doing something, right? They can get something and they can use that something and they can believe in that something. I mean, our boxes are illustrated on the inside and out. You're not just getting a package. You're getting, you know, our boxes that were illustrated, you know, the chemo boxes are a picture of, you know, the outside or an illustration of you climbing a mountain, and the inside is an illustration of the view from the top, right? And they have quotes on the sides and they have quotes on the inside and out, because you don't need a brown Amazon box. You need someone there, even if you can't be there yourself, of patting them on the shoulder, of giving them a hug, of giving them a moment to think about something that is bigger and more important and more influential than just themselves, than just this dialogue that's going in here of, I'm terrified. I don't know what to do. I don't know if I'm doing this right. I don't know how I gave myself this. You know, that was the first thing my husband said to me when I told him the biopsy came back. He just looked at me and said, "This is not your fault." And I would say that to anyone. I have said that to other cancer patients now. You think that you've done something wrong. And the truth is, it's just not the case. It's genetic, it's environment, it's a million things that you cannot and do not have any control over. And it sucks, it's terrible. But you can't think of it from the perspective of, what didn't I do? You have to think about it from, what can I do now? And I think we put a lot of time and energy into making sure that's the dialogue as opposed to the other.
Yeah, it's so well thought out. I'll have a confession now to you. And if my mom is listening from heaven, I'm sorry, Mom, that no one was there to care for you like you cared for hundreds of thousands of patients in your nursing life, and here you were in that lonely position, having taken chemotherapy, and no one was there to pat you on the hand like you were there to pat so many patients, and to have a care kit that comes from the heart. So that's my public apology to my mom, wherever you are today. And it just brings up, it's going to bring up a lot of emotions with a lot of you listeners about, and I don't mean to make you feel guilty about it other than to realize what you could do going forward to help people who may be going through this. And I want you to, Kelly, go ahead and tell our listeners where they can purchase care kits today and contribute to your organization.
I got to say first, though, to anyone who is going through this, and to you, Rick, as well, anything that you did is good, right? That you know, I was thinking about this from this perspective from the beginning, but at every flower, sorry, my lights, when I'm in an office, so sorry, anything that happened is okay, right? A call, a text, a message, and anything. And to be honest, being a mom, you know, myself, as long as my kids were okay, I was okay. You know, people would come over and babysit and do other things, right? If she knew you were okay, I promise you, she was okay. You know, there's, you know, we all look at things of what we could have done differently and better. But you being there for her in any way that you were, I know was a gift. I promise you. So I want to make sure your listeners know that too. Anything that you have done to show that you love and care is enough. And, you know, we're trying to get the word out that when you know a little better, you do a little better. And that's what we're hoping that people can do, you know? So the care kits are available at just www.carakit.com, CARAKIT.com. We thought up that name because the word Cara in Irish, I have a good Irish friend, means friend. And she was like, oh, I love that. But my maiden name, don't freak out, is Maltagliati. It's Maltagliati. That's my husband gave me the Witten. But my dad is Italian. So, Cara in Italian means care in a lot of ways as well.
That's
and
right.
Obviously the word care. So, and then we also have, you know, we have a charity element to this at Cara Kit Cares. I have to say, I'm the worst business owner of all time when it comes to Cara Kit. We give out a lot of kits. We enjoy doing it. If someone asks and needs it, we do. So, I was, you know, we were going real broke in that. So we have Cara Kit Cares that if you want to donate, we use every single darn cent of that. If someone asks it to go to specific kit giving, we know there are a lot of cancer patients because we talk to them, we hear from them that are on disability, right? That are, you know, on their social security, that are a lot of ways that they do not have access to these. And some, which to be honest, is the saddest thing that I hear, is that they just don't have anybody around. They don't have anyone to gift this, or, you know, we sell a lot to groups of friends that are coming in to buy something to try and help, but not everybody has that. So we have a list, we keep up with people and where they are, and we give away as much as we possibly can. It's tax deductible. So, you know, we're coming near the end of the year. If you want to do that and want to take the tax donation, please do. Cara Kit Cares. But just to purchase a kit, it's just carakit.com.
Very good. We're going to dismiss with our commercial, and I know my sponsors will understand. And I'm going to move on to another question. You know, when you look at the contents of some of your kits, they include aromatherapy socks and heating pads, and you mentioned creams, and you mentioned that you your taste buds were altered and how water tasted like metal. What happened to your sense of smell during chemo?
Yeah, it's not great. My smell was a little bit better than, to be honest, my eyes. Chemo can affect your eyes. My prescription got worse going through the process. But it's a very strange way it does it. It basically makes your eyes water more, but it's sticky, which is, they say, is a sign of dehydration as opposed to just watery eyes. So we put eye drops into the kits. But again, you have to be really careful, and we are, with what we put in, to make sure it's not products that have chemicals, dyes, fragrances, you know, that are just the pure elements of the products. Like, we put vitamin E oil in, but just the oil, because, you know, you don't know how sensitive your body is until you get into that situation. And, you know, your immune system is really, really low. So, you know, to be honest, it was a good time I was going through it, because everybody was isolating, and that's what I would have had to do anyway. But it worked really well. But, you know, it's the other thing to tell anyone who's trying to help. And again, we focus on this too. If someone says to you, you're trying to help, and you know, I'm going to say this nicely. When you're helping someone, and Priscilla taught me this too, it's not about you. And that is a real hard thing to imagine, because you put your time and your love and your energy to trying to get somebody something that will help them. But the truth is, it really is about them receiving it and you forgetting it ever happened. And the best thing that we get are notes that come back saying, oh my God, you know, 5 months ago I got your kit and I used it and I feel so much better and it really helped me in this and this way. But we never, and I want to stress that to anyone. And by the way, this applies to a whole lot of things in life, right? You do it out of the kindness of your heart, right? And whatever your being is telling you to do, and you do it. And that's it, right? What you get back should be sort of beyond why you did it. And so I think that idea, I know I'm going off track a little bit, but I was saying it's a real important idea to me, because, you know, if you text somebody who's going through something like this, or you send them a message, or you send them a gift, or you send them stuff, do it from the perspective of, I may not hear back for a bit. Don't wait for that call. I had a good friend who had been through really tough uterine cancer, and she's doing great now. And we were emailing, and she goes, and I was late getting an email back to her because I was in the middle of chemo. And she started the email in like all caps, because I was like, I'm so sorry, I couldn't get to you. And she literally said, do not ever apologize to me for anything ever again. She was like, you are going through your thing. Like, you focus on you and you focus on your family and what you are going through. Never, ever say sorry to me. And she said, by the way, apply that to everyone you're talking to. She said, you can say, I'm so glad you did this, and this for me later. She said, you can't fill your brain with all the things you should have done for all the people that are helping you, because you have one job, and that one job is to focus on yourself and to get better, and everything else should go to the side. So I can't even remember what we were talking about, but I want to make sure I got that in.
My dear Kelly, you hit on the very topic that I wanted you to.
Oh, good.
Because we are obsessed with the topic of significance.
Yeah.
And I want to, you just gave the definition of it. The audience knows this, and if you don't, I'll read it to you again. Significance just means using your wisdom and life experiences to change the lives of others.
Amazing.
Without any expectations, nothing in return. Nothing in return.
Nothing. But
what I want you to address for the rest of this show, for the next few minutes, is just this. How do we change the heart condition of people to be that way? It is a condition of the heart. Here's your chance to preach. And if you go over 45 minutes, then it's your fault. But this is the wrap on the show, Kelly.
Okay. Well, listen, I have to say, it's important for everyone to try as much as they can to understand themselves first. And I say that, you know, I know I've been saying, you know, we're all talking about how to help other people, but this is one job you actually need to do. And, you know, I went through that in the beginning of cancer treatment, and I worked through it. And my husband and I were in therapy for like the whole year that we were going through this, because if we didn't schedule a time to talk and with somebody else, we would be all about the kids and we'd never connect with each other and talk about what was going on and what I was needing and what he was needing as the only caregiver in the middle of all of this. So the important part is to try and understand yourself and your motivations, you know, what you love, what you don't love, you know, what things speak to you. Because I think at that point, when you're going out and helping people, you can say, even if you write it down, the few things that you really believe in, or maybe it's a notebook full, whatever works for you, of what I believe, what I want to do, what I trust in myself, right? What motivates me. And then after that, you can start doing those things, not for the other people, but partly for yourself. And that's an okay thing, right? If you understand why this is happening, I want to help people with this thing. Then you go help people with that thing. And if you see their smiles and if you see their joy and you see what they are getting from that experience, it's beautiful. And it happens, by the way, it happens all the time, but you don't go into it expecting that. You go into it with the idea of what can I do? What gifts have I been given to be able to take that next step? And once you know that, to me, the sort of the significance of your life takes on new meaning, right? The significance of the things you choose to do with the hours that you have in the day. If you are just nicer to someone in the grocery store, right? I this is a tiny tidbit I'll add in, but you know, I'm the person, you can tell, I'm not a pessimist, right? I think life is great. I love it, right? So I would be the person, you know, I'm taking a walk on the street and I see somebody, I'm just saying hi. And you know, you do that in the grocery store and you people I don't know, but it's a wonderful thing. And you know, every once in a while I'd run across someone who just was angry. You could tell, right? They're walking. Yeah. You're trying to do the same thing. It's not working. They're ignoring you. They're looking the other way, all of it. When I was going through chemo and I would go somewhere, I would be them. And it's going to almost make me cry right now. I suddenly understood what it was like to be in pain. And I had not understood it at that level before. So keep being the self that you're going to be. You never know when what you do has an impact on somebody. A lot of times it brings joy. Sometimes it brings nothing, but that's okay because that person may have received something bigger than you ever imagined, even if you never hear back from them ever again. And by the way, even if they didn't, it's okay. You know, you tried to be the best self that you could and it's all right. But I do think caring about yourself and your loved ones and your family and who's around you, you know, making sure that the people that are closest to you are supporting you in the way that you need to be supported, right? And if they're not, that you're having those conversations and the rest, right? We're all just fragile human creatures. You know, we want the best for the people in our lives, the ones that we love. But wanting that is knowing what you need as well. And I'm not talking about saying my husband has to do this.
New on Curiosity Stream. We've walked with dinosaurs. We've explored our prehistoric planet, and we were always told the same story. Extinction came from the sky. But what if dinosaurs survived? Amazing Dino World 2. Watch it now on Curiosity Stream. With monthly, annual, and bundle plans, find the one that works for you at curiositystream.com.